says, "Minayin la'ida shehi asara." It says that you bench by mentioning Hashem's name. And it differentiates between when you have an Ada and when you don't have an Ada. So I will accept that last time. So here, let's read the Yerushalmi first, and then I'll come back to these sheets I'm just giving out now. You should have one of these. There's some handwriting on the side, and then the rest is three pages of Gemara from the Talmud Bavli. Okay, so everyone help me. I'm on Ayin Hamud Beis, just about 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines from the bottom. Oh, right there, exactly there.
Minayin.
Okay. Minayin la'eda shehi asara. Right, so how do we know that an Ada constitutes 10 for a minyan? And to say, Nevarech Elokeinu shachan l'mishalo. Okay, that's where you left off. Rabbi Yasa is Rabbi Asi in the Bavli. Rabbi Ba is Rabbi Abba. We already know that the Talmud Yerushalmi often leaves out Alephs from the beginning of people's names. Right? I mean, you always know what an Eretz Yisrael source when you see Rabbi Liezer instead of or Rabbi Lazar. Right? That'll be Bereshis Rabba, Vayikra Rabba, and of course all Talmud Yerushalmis are Yerushalmis Eretz Yisrael sources. Minayin le'eda she'asar Rabbi Ba, Rabbi Yasa b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Nomar kan eda v'nomar lahalan eda. Ma eda shnemar lahalan asara, af eda shnemar kan asara. What psukim are we talking about here? Okay, so that's where you have to start looking at this page that I gave you here. Okay. In Bamidbar, Hashem told Moshe, "Ad Masai la Eda Hara Hazos Asher Hima Melinim Alai, Es Tzumnos Bnei Yisrael Asher Hima Melinim Alai Shamati." When Hashem was referring to this congregation, so to say, this group that so ruined things in the desert by speaking against this prospect of inheriting the land, there were 10 men there, right? These were the 10 Meraglim, the 12 sans Kalev and Yoshua. Alright? Okay, so there I see an Ada is 10. So too the Ada that the Yerushalmi spoke about of a group that constitutes a quorum for benching, so that's where we know that an Ada is 10. Okay, fine. Alright? Now, however, where do you get the idea of a Dover Shebekdusha? Where's the idea of a minion coming? So Amar Rabbi Simon, Nomar Kan Toch, V'Nomar Lahalan Toch. Right? Now, what's the first Toch? Look at the top of the page. It says, V'lo Techalalu Hashem Kodshi, V'Nikdashti Bisoch, notice I put three lines under the bet, and Toch, Bisoch B'nei Yisrael, Ani Hashem Mekadishchem. Right? Now, the Talmud Yerushalmi now takes a turn from some Gemaras with which you may be familiar. That's these three Gemaras here we're about to learn in the Talmud Bavli. But look what it says. You see the word Toch there? V'nikdashti, I will be sanctified in the Toch, in the midst of Bnei Israel. Okay? And what's the other Pasuk? V'yavo Bnei Israel ishpor bor b'soch haboim. You see at the bottom of the page that I wrote down here? Yavob Bnei Yisrael lishpor b'soch haboim. I must have left out the word. Lishpor bor b'soch haboim. They came to find food amongst those in Egypt looking for food. How many went?
10.
10 sons. The sons of Yaakov. Sons Binyamin and Yosef is there already, so it's 10. Okay, so our Talmud Yerushalmi has a different limud than the Talmud Bavli here. It says, "V'yavo b'nei Yisrael lishpor bor b'soch haboim, ma tocha amur lahalon asara, afkan asara." Now, actually, this is a superior limud to the Talmud Bavli's limud. because let's now turn our attention to these three Gemaras, if you will. We have the Psukim here. Now turn the page. The first page is Maseches Brachos Daf Chaf Aleph, where it says Minayin. Everyone have it? I put a box around what we're learning. Turn that page. Right there. Okay. Minayin she'ena yochid omer kedusha. How do we know that a single individual shouldn't say kedusha? Now, mind you, the Talmud Yerushalmi's opinion, as is expressed in Maseches Megillah, Yerushalmi Megillah, is that this means the kedusha that we say in Shemona Esrei, as well as the kedusha that we say in Shacharis, needs a minyan. You can't say the Brachos Kriyat Shema without a minyan. Seems to be the opinion of the Stam opinion of Yerushalmi Megillah. There are some before us who try to work it through that the Bavli and Yerushalmi agree on that. But here, at the very least, this Kedusha here means the Kedusha that we say in Chazar HaShatz. Right? Minayin she'ena yochid omer Kedusha, shnemar v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. You can only say Kedusha in the midst of b'nei Yisrael. Now, this is a very strange composition here. Because v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael is a pasuk, means it's a Torah law, and Kedusha is Drabanan. All liturgies are Drabanan. Even if you hold like the Rambam that it's a mitzvah to pray, when you put a liturgy to it,
right.
Once you put the words, okay, we're saying, okay, Shema, or Shema, but the idea of davening may be a Doraisa, but how you daven, what you daven, everyone knows that that's a Drabanan.
This would almost be an asmachta anyway, isn't
it? Right, of course. We just say this whole thing is midrabanan, because we're about to get to a different Gemara, but what would you say is the Torah law of needing a minyan for this pasuk? Is
and any time that you are going to sanctify, of course, then you have to.
Which is what circumstance?
Giving up your life.
Yes, giving up your life in front of 10. This says v'nikdashti b'sof b'nei Yisrael, dying al kiddush Hashem. That's the Torah law of 10, needing 10 for that rule. Because there is an opinion in Maseches Sanhedrin that there's a difference between when you're in front of 10 Jews and when you're not in front of 10 Jews. So the Bavli in Sanhedrin asks, 10 men or 10 women? What about 5 men and 5 women? What's you see an amazing irony coming up now? What's the Hava Mina to think that women can comprise the minyan for dying al kiddush Hashem? Why would you think they should make that minyan?
Because they might also be dying kiddush.
Let's ask the question from the other direction. Why don't women comprise a minyan for kiddusha? Because they're not obligated in kiddusha. They're not obligated in kriyas haTorah. They're not obligated in
baruch. But they are obligated
to die al kiddush Hashem.
Situations.
So argues Rav Yaakov Emden, and argues the Chacham Tzvi, and argues Moshe Engels. I saw a number of the Tachnas Panech, a number of good starker Meforshim and Poskim saying, of course women make up that minyan. It's a chumrah. In other words, he's sitting in front of 5 men and 5 women. He's okay, I don't have to die now. It's not, there's no minyan here. So here's the point though. It's the irony is that in the Drabanan manifestation of Nikdashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael, women are excluded. But in the much less often Torah manifestation, women are included. Okay, so here it says, Nayin She'ena Yochid Omer Kedusha, Shnemar V'Nikdashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael. Kol Davar She'Bikdusha, Lo Yehi Pachos Me'asara. That means laning, Haftorah, whatever needs minyan in the Mishnah in Maseches Megillah. Right, we're about to get to. My mashma. Where do you get that? That this requires a what? My mashma means what? What's the mashmaus of the pasuk b'soch b'nei Yisrael? What does b'soch b'nei Yisrael mean? 22,000. What is it? Right, rivos alfe Yisrael. So it says the Tani Rabbanai Achva Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Asya Toch Ksiv Hacha V'Nikdashti B'soch b'nei Yisrael. That pasuk was not brought down in the Yerushalmi. Malahalan asara, afkan asara. this Gemara is deficient. Explain to me why. First of all, where is this pasuk? It says ksiv hocha in Parshas Kedoshim. It says in Parshas Emor. It says v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Israel. I shall have a davar shebikdusha in the midst of Israel.
They're not alike. This one's Korach.
This one's Korach. And how many men were by Korach?
250.
Yeah, so what? Do you need 250 men for a minion? So what, this Gemara is deficient. So let's turn to the next Gemara. The Marshal points that out and says that we have to add some little bit to that Gemara. Let's see what the Mishnah in Megillah says. Ain't porson al shma, the Talmud Yushalmi explaining what that means. Ain't porson al shma means that you say half of a shma. Why? What you have is in a room of 10 men who all daven shacharis in their homes, and now they get together at 10 o'clock in the morning. Because you know what? We didn't daven with a minion today. Oh, let's porson al shma. What do? One guy learns a little, says kaddish, skadavis kaddish, chatzi kaddish, baruchu, and then they say the two brachas of Kriyat Shema without Kriyat Shema, because Kriyat Shema you can say alone. But the brachas of Kriyat Shema you can't, because of this rule. That's how the Yushami learns it, because you can't say Kadosh, 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 so let him say that. That's called Porson Hashma. What does Poris mean? A half. Like a pras, a chilas pras. So they say half of the shachris. That's what's known as Porson Al Shema. So it says, Ain Porson Al Shema. Unless you have a minion. Okay? There's nothing to be gained. If you don't have a minion, you daven at home already without the minions. What are you going to... Mm-hmm. But if you get a minion together, and then there are a lot of different Rishonim, how many people need to be davening like this? So the halacha is even one. Even one. You ever see someone do this? They come in very late to shul, and he gives a clap, and he starts saying Ashrei, and he says a Kaddish. He has 9 other Jews in the room who all just daven mincha, and he's clapping, and he starts his Chazor Shashatz. And he says Kedusha with them. And then he says the rest of Shema, then they go. He said, he can't say Kaddish after that anymore, but that's the... But he starts like that.
That's called
for the sake of Sfardim, I think, always say it.
Always say it.
But Ashkenazim only say it if there's someone in the room who didn't hear Baruch. Otherwise, why do I say it? Everyone heard Baruch already. Okay? The Rosh says not to do it on Shabbos, because on Shabbos, there's Kriya Satorah also. If you missed Baruch Hu, he certainly came there in time for Kriyas HaTorah. So I'd like to show the Rosh some shuls where some people miss that too. So it says, Ein porson al shma ve'ein in all the things you need a minion. So the Gemara says, that's a turn from the point of the Gemara, right? And the Mishnah tells you all the things that need a minion. So the Gemara says, Menonim Eli. How do you know that we need a minion? Okay, you with me? Uh-huh. With him? Amar Chia Baraba, Amar Yochanan, De Amar Kra, V'nikdashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael. Kol Dovah Shebekdusha Lo Yehe Pachos Me'asara. So the Gemara says, My Mashma De Tani Rabbi Chia Asya Toch Toch, K'siv Hocha V'nikdashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael, U'K'siv Hosam Hi Bodlu Mitocha Eda. Right? So, good. Ad Kan, this is what the Gemara Brachas did. Now this Gemara in Megillah realizes that that's not enough, because there are 250 men with Korach. But there's another thing. The Asya Eda, Dichsiv Hosam Ad Mosaila Eda Harazos Malhaonasar Afkanasar. You get it? Now go back to my handwriting. This is how the Bavli is working.
We were just reading from the Bavli.
I was reading from the Gemara Megillah, yeah.
Of the Bavli.
Yeah. Go back to this page with the handwriting on it. And you see at the top, this is the pasuk. The top pasuk teaches that if you do a davar shebikdusha, it should be in the midst of Israel. What is considered the midst of Israel? So just to quote the pasuk by Korach, that's the third pasuk. He bodlu mitocha eda hazos, right? He bodlu mitoch. Good. That has the word toch in it. Mm-hmm. It's not the exact same word, but we know that the gzeres shavah can be a little different. Remember, Shabbat calling of all calling.
Mitoch and Bitoch.
Mitoch and Bitoch. That's why I put the lines under the mem in the back.
Right.
But the problem with this connection, while they both have the word toch, is that Korach has much more than 10 men. Mm-hmm. So what connects you to the number 10?
Eda.
Eda. So it's a very unusual sort of a, no, like this kind of Xerishava that you have to go.
You know that Eda means 10 from here, though.
Maybe Eda doesn't, I don't know what Eda means by Korach,
yeah,
but Eda means 10 by the Meraglim. Oh. You see? So it's a double Xerishava. Toch, Toch, Eda, Eda. Right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The word Toch picks up, the word Toch in the Torah picks up the pasuk by Korach. The pasuk by Korach has the word Eda. It's a grandson of a Xerishava. I don't know whatever you want to call it.
Right. So,
Xerishava twice removed.
Is that common, that's
not common at all, but that's what the Gemara is doing.
Uh-huh.
So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is sort of a combination of the third Gemara, which talks about dying al Kiddush Hashem. It says in front of a minion. So there, it's like the Gemara in Brachas, where it only brings in from Korach. And Rashi writes that pasuk is by the Meraglim. So the Marshal writes, Lo Dok Rashi. Rashi should have checked. That pasuk is not by the Meraglim. The pasuk is by Korach. All right, but the problem is not Rashi's. The problem is the Gemara's. But the Gemara in Megillah quotes all the right pasukim. Fine. So the Bavli got it right. So the question Rav Moshe was asked in the Tshuva is, why does the Yerushalmi quote from the brothers of Yosef? I think I have three or four good reasons why the pasuk by Yosef is better.
It's ten
without,
well,
without the, it's ten directly.
Yeah.
Plus it's the word bitoch, not mitoch, mm-hmm, right? Plus even another consideration, which is what Rav Moshe deals with, it's righteous, the tzaddikim.
They're righteous, right.
So Rav Moshe says that's precisely why the Bavli wanted a quote from Korach, to teach that you can use a Rasha in a minion.
Ah.
The Meraglim and Korach. Two limudim, all from very wicked men. Men who are, right after they're mentioned, about to die. They're about to die. The 10 Meraglim would kill right away. The 250 men were about to swallow up the earth. But not before they got to teach us how to get a minion.
Have a minion, then you have to be a tzaddik to be counted to a minion.
No, maybe someone who, doesn't want to, I don't know. The Rambam has certain criteria for someone to be counted in the minyan.
Yeah, criteria, but if you're saying using the pasuk from Korach or Lafuke,
the Rambam writes at the end of his Perusha Mishnah to Sanhedrin, Rashi wouldn't be counted in his minyan.
Huh?
He says anyone who doesn't agree with these 13 principles of faith are heretics, and you should throw them down the well and take away the ladder. And, right, that's the lashon of the Gemara.
Yeah.
Rashi seems to accept the fact throughout his parish that God has physical corporeal features. He says, Yad Mamash, Enayim Mamash. You see, Rashi
really?
Perushim to God. He says, Yad Hashem. He says, Yad Mamash, got the fingers. And...
Really?
So, at least Rashi wasn't as sensitive as the Rambam that to say so is absolute heresy. And be that as it may. I'm just saying that Rav Moshe got from here is that, Taka, we will use it. Now, it's a famous Maimon Chazal that the 11... ingredients of the incense has one that's very foul smelling.
Yeah.
So, or with the Dalet Minim, right? So everyone says, see, you can use a Chelban, a Jew, Gelbanum, for a minion. So others say, no, how many ingredients are in the Ktoris? It's 11. It's because without him, they have a minion. Sorry, when we have 10 without you, okay, you can dine with us. Anyway. But I would like to look at the source again, and I think there's a good pshat reason why the Bavli rejects this pasuk by Yosef. You see, inside where you get it? It says Vayavo, what's the pasuk? Vayavo b'nei Yisrael lishborbor b'soch haba'im.
Yeah.
Give me a pshat reason why the Bavli never
told. B'soch haba'im is all the people that
countless. B'soch isn't talking about Yosef's brothers, which are indeed 10. B'soch haba'im. We're talking about the countless people who are going down to Egypt to get food. So that's, while it's very enticing because it's b'soch b'soch, not mitoch b'soch. It's direct. Doesn't need an eder in the middle there. And they're righteous. I'd rather learn a gzeirah shavah than about righteous people. So Rav Moshe gave a discussion on that. Okay, let's continue, please. Amalei Rabbi Yossi Barabun. Got it. Im mitoch ad yolif lo sagin inun ela nomar kan b'nei Yisrael v'nomar lahalan b'nei Yisrael. If you're learning it from bitoch, the Bavli itself says, There could be thousands of people there getting food in Egypt. Right? Okay, so Ella nomar kan b'nei Yisrael v'nama lahalan b'nei Yisrael. Ma b'nei Yisrael sh'nimar lahalan asara afkan asara. It's not your word b'toch. It's from v'yavo b'nei Yisrael ishbor bor and v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. That's better. This b'nei Yisrael were 10. There's no other place where the words b'nei Yisrael appear in the Torah where we're talking about 10. And it says v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. It's not the word toch. So that shlugs up that pshat answer I just gave. Right, that Besoch isn't talking about the brothers of Yosef. It's talking about all the hundreds of thousands of people coming from all other places. It's not that. The drush is from the words B'nai Yisrael. Our Gemara knows that that's a faulty assertion. Okay? Ma B'nai Yisrael Shnemar L'Halan Asara? Just like where Yosef's brothers came in to get food, there are 10, and that I know. So too, Afkan, when the Torah says, V'nikdashti B'soch B'nai Yisrael, which does, I don't know, what does B'soch B'nai Yisrael mean? How many? So it must be 10. Ma makayimin rabbonon taimad rab Yosef glili b'makelos b'chol kihilo kihilo. So remember in where the Mishnah said that depending on the size of your mezumen, you should say a different mezumen. You have 100, say this. You have 1,000, say that. You have 10,000, say that. Right, each another zero, you say something else. So it says, "B'makhelos baruchu Hashem." That's in the Haftor of Parshas B'shalach, and it's called Shiras Devora. She says, "B'makhelos baruchu Hashem." All right. So makhelos means in the different kihilos. Each type of kihila gets a different bracha. You hear it? B'makhelos b'chol kihila u'kihila. My turn. I'm Rav Chanina Barei Rav Avohu B'makhelos Ksiv. I misread that. B'makhelos Ksiv. Is that how it's written in your Gemara that has vocalization?
Yeah, B'makhelos.
Good. Okay. Now the word is absolutely in the Bible. The word is B'makhelos. So why is your Gemara reading B'makhelos? So I have to introduce you to a whole concept here. It's called Yesh Eim L'Mesora. Yesh Eim L'Mesora. And then once I'll use this board over there to show what it means. It's quite a common concept. And it takes note of a few Masoretic phenomena, but relies on a few assumptions. If you disagree with the assumptions, let me know before I go on. The assumption is Torah is divine, written by God, and that a divine document ought to be perfectly written, without any inconsistencies. The same word should be spelled the same way throughout the same document. Okay?
Unless there's limber from it.
Well, that's what's going on. The observable facts are that the Torah is written without vocalization. You know, dots to tell us whether the first word is Bereshis, Berushis, Bereishis, right? But we have a Mesorah that tells us what that should be. But the vocalization is not there. And the second observable fact is that the Torah is filled with hundreds upon hundreds of spelling inconsistencies. Not only, let's say, that the word Toldos is spelled four different ways in the Torah. How would you... One book should... The word Generations should be written four different ways in the same book. How would you suffer such a thing? Right? So, Yesh Eim L'Mesorah is predicated on the concept that these spelling inconsistencies are purposely installed into the Torah. Some are quite egregious. Now, I'll show you some examples, but what this is teaching is that these inconsistencies, these missing vavs or extra vavs or missing yuds or things like that, are there for a purpose. Often, Rashi will quote them in the realm of Agadita, but sometimes they touch upon the realm of Halacha. For instance, the word, when the Torah writes about Sukkot, right? So it usually spells them both deficiently. Meaning, I would expect the word Sukkot to be spelled like this. First of all, it's never spelled like that in the Torah, with both words. On occasion, it's spelled like this, Sukkos. In the whole Tanakh, the word Sukkah only has this vav once, in Tehillim. But it's never written like that. But most of the times, the word is written like this or like this. Okay. So deficiencies of the missing vavs in the word Sukkoski teaches a halacha. Remember? You don't need all four walls of a sukkah for it to be kosher. Right? You could be missing, and a vav looks like a wall. So you could be missing walls. Right? Also, when the Torah says to take an esrog, it says a priyei tzedor, so we take one. It says arve nochal, so we take two. Arve is plural. Anaf eitz avos, so we take three, but it's at least plural. So the Torah Gemara says we take kapos tmarim, we should take two lulavs at least. These are plural, so we take two. Why do we only take one lulav? Is the Gemara answer? Because the word kapos is spelled like that. Kapas.
Kapat.
So it's one. So it looks singular. Mm-hmm. Give another example. The Torah says that a Kohen shall not enter a room where there's a dead body under the same roof. And the Gemara learns that it's not only a dead body, even a kezayis min ames, meaning an olive's bulk taken from that dead body. In the room with the Kohen is just his tummy. It's called Tumas Ohel, and his tummy. He doesn't have to touch it. He's just in the same roof. So Gemara asks all kinds of hypothetical questions. It says, what happens if it comes from, a kezayis is made up from two different bodies? Or a revius of dam, a revius of blood from two different bodies? Can that make up the requisite tumma, shear? So the Gemara quotes this pasuk to answer the question. I'll call nafshos mace lo yavo. He shall not come into close proximity to nafshos mace. What drusha might you derive from that? That he's tummy, even if the requisite shear comes from two different bodies. But that's not the halacha, because this word is missing that of. Nafshasksiv. It has to come from one body. Uh-huh. Even though the word is plural. You see that there's halachas that are derived from these missing vavs. Now, even though it's true that the Gemara Megillah says, in the Bavli, anan lo bekiyin b'chaseros v'yaseros, we wouldn't pasal a Sefer Torah if it's missing a vav that's supposed to be there, unless it's the vav in the beginning of the word, and of course that's different. Except, some cases, we are bekiyin. I know that this kapos doesn't have a vav. If I have a Sefer Torah when the vav is here, put it away, and erase it. But other times, unless there's a specific Mesorah, Vavs do not pasal a Torah. Like if Yaakov five times in the Torah has a Vav in it, between the Kuf and the Beis.
Because we're not sure?
Yeah, I mean, now we're quite sure, but
then it must teach something, so what's the difference?
Something that we know that's recorded in the Gemara. Yeah, look, the Vilna Gaon made all kinds of drash. Remember the very famous, the first time when Bnei Yisrael crossed into the water? It says, Bnei Yisrael hochu b'yabasha b'soch hayam. And it says, v'hamayim lahem choma miminam u'mismomam. The water was a wall to their right and to their left. Then the next time it says, they went b'soch hayam b'yabasha. And here it spells the word choma with the vav. Choma, and there it's with the vav. And here it's, they went into the yavasha, the sochayam, and there it's the sochayam, the yavasha. That's the one you're more familiar with. So what's the difference? Have you heard teretz in this? The Vilna Gaon gives a teretz. He says, here the Jews didn't want to go in until it was dry land. Right?
Uh-huh.
Here it says they went in besochayam. They jumped in when it was still water.
And then it became.
So here the word choma is missing the vav, because this one is missing a vav. What does the word look like?
Choma.
Chema, which means anger. So Hashem took out the vav from this one and put it in there, because here they were more righteous. They jumped into the water. Right, you see it? Alright, why did I mention this? Because this is not found in the Gemara. Everything until now is all Gemaras.
Yeah, different Torahs could have two Vavs or one, and they're not possible. What is the basis for Bible codes?
None.
Where it takes success?
None. a good reason why they're bogus.
Don't they have to start with one?
None. And I believe that when this was asked of one of the look, I don't want to get into that now, but I think it's a good proof against it. You're absolutely right. And I'll tell
they
you,
have a starting
so method. I don't like it mathematically because I have up here in this closet, Christians and Muslims have already done their codes on the Torah. Christians more than Muslims, because Christians accept the Torah, finding hundreds of references to their belief systems by plugging in. You have enough time to waste. You'll find anything if you plug into a computer today.
Yeah.
The great finish is that the original rabbis who did this was before computers. Every 50 words, they found something.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, so I agree that the Torah speaks in code. The Torah encodes certain messages, and
different kind of code.
You know, but to this kind of code, not into so much. Especially since some of the people who wrote these early books weren't even from. I have so much of this up in the top of this closet, in my fear section. Let me see if you can figure out. Let me give you an example of this. First of all, let's see how it fits into our Gemara. It says that there's a different benching for each kehila. Kehila of 10 says this, kehila of 100 says this, kehila of 1,000 says this. Why? Because it says, b'makelos, plural, bless God. So the guy says, it's the same benching no matter what, because the word makelos is missing that vav, and therefore it looks singular. That's why it said makelos.
Ah, okay, that's why you went through that, right.
I'll give you one last one. When Moshe held two tablets in his hands, and he saw the Eidah, because he grabbed the tablets, Vayashlichem, look how it's spelled, Mi-Yodov. From his hands. But it's misspelled. If you wrote a third grade composition...
Yod in there?
Yod in there, yes.
From his hands.
Right, but if you're laning that, remember the laning doesn't have the dots in it. You're laning, you're looking at this word. If you're not prepared for the laning, you'll read Vayashlichem Mi-Yodov. Right? Mm-hmm. So why is the word Mi-Yodov? But you have to lane it Mi-Yodov. Right? So make a drash.
So it implies that like one-handedly he...
You could throw things further with one hand than with two, but...
He broke the section that dealt with the...
Right, he only wanted to throw down one. He wanted to throw down the first five and said, okay, God, I see. They're doing something against you, so I should. They don't deserve to have this revelation of the first five. But why shouldn't I tell them about stealing and killing and adultery and false testimony? Why shouldn't I send that down? So Hashem told him, sorry, Moshe, you can't throw one without the other. So this is an expression. This is how the Torah works this way. It's called drash. All right, that's called yesh eim lemesora. There's a riff in the beginning of Bava Kamma that talks about why is it Avos Nezikin, but Yesh Eim L'Mesorah. It should be Yesh Av L'Mesorah. I don't know, our Mesorah is our mother. I'm not going to, it's a drash, but, okay. The Or Sameach suggests in the Rambam and Hilchos in the Laws of Benching that it might be a nafkamina of the following. This b'makei lasksiv, a drasha that does not appear in the Bavli. If you have, let's say, five Jews eating a meal together, certainly all five should bench together, because if you break up into two different groups, one is not going to have a mezumin. So all five, if you have six, then there's nothing to be gained by everyone benching together. If two want to make two different groups, gesundheit. And seven can break off four and three, eight can break up into five and three, and nine can break up into three groups of three. But once you have ten, you can't break up then.
About like a concept of Barovah.
So here's the question. If you have 20, Is there anything to be gained by having 20 bench together, or should you? So it's the Orsa. I don't know. The Orsa Meach learns a pshat based on. It says commenting on the Rambam that it seems from the Yerushalmi that if you have 20 Jews, it's better to break off into two groups. So two different groups have a chance to say in the Berach Elokeinu Shecham Shalom. Now Baruch mentioned the idea of Barov Hamhadras Melech. It's always better to have as large a group as you can for any particular thing, right? This is a chiddush because the Bavli knows no such thing.
That's far more make it easier to answer the question of benching the problem of benching at a wedding. Without dominion.
So Rav Moshe has that tshuva, a very famous tshuva on this. He says that the only way you can break off that way is if when you wash, you had in mind to do that.
To leave before.
Yeah, because if you're at a wedding and you washed without thinking, I'm leaving early, you can't make a mezuman of three. You have to make a mezuman of ten. You sat down with hundreds of people. You're losing out on the 10. You can make a 10.
If you make the 10, you have to say Sheva Bros.
Bistam and not. Only if the B'chaz Nekala are in that Mizomen. But at least it should be 10. I see it all the time at weddings. Can you two of you join me and make a Mizomen? Because we have to go.
Yeah, right.
Right, but that's... And even so that you can only do...
You should have that intention.
That you can have in mind, yeah. You're certainly going to bench Mizomen. But if no, you can when you wash even remove yourself from a three chiyuv, right? Mm-hmm. But with hundreds of people joining together, you have a chiyuv to bench from the Berach Elokeinu Shechal Mishalom. So that can't be done unless you had in mind when you were washing. So if you didn't have in mind, don't leave a wedding early before Sheva Brachos unless you gather 9 other Jews to bench Mizuma, which is not an easy thing. Let's learn a little more. Rabbi Akiva, Mamatzinu Beveis HaKnesses. So Rabbi Akiva argued that just as in Shul, whether you have 10 Jews or 10,000 Jews, you say the same Baruch Hu. Maybe we should say a big elaborate Baruch Hu when you have 1,000 Jews in Shul. We don't say an elaborate Baruch Hu. Why should we say an elaborate Nevarech Elokeinu? Right? That was Rabbi Akiva's taina against Rabbi Yosef Glili, if you recall. That's back to the mission. Okay? Alright, so Rabbi Barashi, come mikri b'oraisa. Rabbi Barashi had an aliyah. V'amar baruchu, v'lo amar ha-mevorach. Bo'en mishtake. So he had an aliyah, he said baruchu es Hashem, but he didn't say ha-mevorach. He just said baruchu es Hashem. Right? The people waited and waited to see if he would say ha-mevorach. Right? They tried to get him to say Hamavarach. Well, to see, is he going to start again? Right? He's going to continue with the bracha. Asher bracha banim yikol amim. Right? So, v'ma baruchu v'lo amar hamavarach. Ba'on mishtake. They wanted to see where he's going to go. Amalahon rav. Apone d'hanoi k'rabi Akiva. So, he said The earlier we said that the addition of saying Hamavarach was considered to make up for not saying Nivorech. Right? So, when the Tzibah wanted to correct him for just saying Baruch Hu Hashem and his Aliyah, the Rav told him, no, leave him alone. He's holding like Rabbi Akiva. Right? While it's certainly improper to change Minhag HaMakom, right? So, perhaps he wasn't sure what the minhag of that place was. I don't know. We have this all the time. Sfaradim davening for the Amud, they have a yard site or something. So I would normally just say, just follow what's that siddur. That siddur is an Ashkenazic siddur. But invariably you hear Onim Be'ema, Ve'omim Be'ira, Onim Be'ema, Ve'omim Be'ema, Ve'onim Be'ira, right? That's what he said. Umaritzin, Umaktishin, Umanlichin.
It means you daven regularly.
Right?
That's a good thing.
No, I understand, but just follow what's written here in this book. It's right. Mamlichim, Look, I have never davened in a Sfardish Shul for the Amud. I would probably have the same problem in the
davening. Davening for the Amud, you have to daven with the minhag of the place.
Of course, no. Rav Moshe says when you're davening yourself, of course stick to your own minhag.
Right.
Interestingly, Rav Moshe says, but Kedusha, everybody should say the same Kedusha. I'm not even sure what he means. On Shabbos. But Kedusha is out loud. I understand that. But the parts you're saying out loud is just psukim. Kadosh, 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 Hashem, so is Malachos Kevado.
Yeah, but he means like Natishach,
Rabbi, Nathish. Sfardim, Selim, Asam, Shabchim, Vermim, and Ashkenaz, Selim, Sambrachim, Eru. But those are things for the Chazan to say. The Chazan to say what he's going to say. Right, anyway, but Rav Moshe says that with the Kedusha, that you say should be, everyone should say the same thing. Everything else you can say is
you're
yourself.
Saying something else. You're not joining the minion, and you can't say Kedusha alone. So you have to be saying what the rest of the
right, say with that, yeah. It makes sense. Yeah. Right? Okay, so, but maybe he wasn't sure what the minog was. That's all. Simple as that. Right? The only time I ever run into an issue, there was Taka, a man in the shul, who had Yortzeit, Rosh Chodesh, Iyar. Everyone always knew he had Yortzeit, Rosh Chodesh, Iyar. It was Mr. Nathan, Paul Nathan, Sparty. Mm-hmm. And he would daven for the Amud, for my first 10, 12 years I was here. But I would tell him, after you finish Shacharis, you have to sit down. Because it's Rosh Chodesh today, and you don't say brachas on Hallel.
You don't say what?
Sfardim don't say bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh.
Oh,
just Rosh Chodesh Teves for Hanukkah.
Right.
So I don't want you to have to say your Hallel like us. It's a bracha of Matala for you.
Right.
And I'm not going to let you get up there and say Hallel without a bracha.
Right.
So if you're davening for the Amud, Sfardi's davening for an Ashkenazi Amud, and it's just to stamp with a Sfardi up there, you wouldn't do. But he had your sights. He always got up and he davened.
Well, did they say bracha for Hallel?
They say the Gemara is a Hallel. Well,
they
only say bracha when you say the whole Hallel.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. You don't finish. Why, Sfardim don't say the Kroah is Hallel?
No, they don't.
They don't say the Adzad and the Gemara for the whole thing or not at all?
The Gemara or not at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go a little further. Rav Zira kam mikrei kohen b'makom levi ubirich lefanel v'lachareha ubam mishtake. Once we're talking about people who make sort of mistakes upon laning, so first of all you have to know that in the time of the Gemara there were only two brachas. Kohen said baruch Hashem avarach shabaruch avan kol mivnas l'nistosav baruch Hashem is in the Torah. He laned the first aliyah and then finished, stop. Levi would come, say nothing. Let's say a weekday. Say nothing. Just he would lane the second aliyah. The Yisrael would come and say nothing and start laning. And then, since he's the last aliyah, would say, Asher nasalam etoras mezeh. So there's just the first. The Kohen always said the first. Whether it's seven aliyahs or three or four or five, no one in the middle says any bracha. And the last one says, and they're laning. They lane their own aliyah. There's no bakari. You lane your aliyah. Right? So that's the original way that people did it. Okay? So, this is what's happened. He read the first two aliyahs. Why would a Kohen read the first two aliyahs?
If there is no Levi.
No Levi. Right? Mikre Kohen, b'makom Levi. He said the Kohen and the Levi aliyah. Ubirach lefana ulachareha. And he made the bracha before the Kohen Aliyah, and he made the bracha after the Levi Aliyah. Oh, wait a second. You just robbed the bracha from the third guy. Ubam Mishtake. And they wanted to silence him when they started hearing him say the bracha after Levi. Wait, we still have a Yisrael to call. He's supposed to get the bracha. Right? This is what made Rav Moshe Sternbach say that he thinks that the most chashuv Aliyah is Shvi after Kohen.
Oh, because
Shvi is the only one that had the bracha with it. Not Shishi or Shlishi or Shvi is the biggest bracha. Right? So, Amalon Reb Chiya Barashi Apune, Techein Inu Nehigin Gabayhu. He said, Apune means leave him alone, right? No, don't object to this minug. In his place, the minug is to repeat the bracha before and after, as is our minug today. So, why didn't he say it right after Kohen? Because he knew he was going to get the Levi Aliyah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like like we say Bimkom Levi. So just, but now the minug is to say before and after everything.
There's no relevance to the fact that he got two Aliyahs. He could have just, right, that has nothing to do with the story.
Yeah, but he just, he was there. Yeah, they just happened to be the Maaseh Shoyah. Right? Ksiva Yivarach Ezra es Hashem Elokim HaGadol. B'mahu Godlo, Godlo B'Shem HaMeforash. This is just a continued tangent about laning. When Ezra gathered together the people, as is described in Sefer Nehemiah in Perek Ches, it says they all laned the Torah, and he was Megadel. He made God great in the eyes of the people. How? B'Shem HaMeforash. Because when he leaned, he pronounced God's name the way it's spelled. He said, Baruch atah Yeh. Right? You're not supposed to pronounce that, right? You just say it as if though it's Adonai. But that's not Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Right? When you say Hashem's name, are you allowed to look up in the air? You know, you have to read the Torah. You say Bereishis, you have to be looking at the word Bereishis. If you say Bereishis while looking in the air, you have to read it again, look down. Mm-hmm. So can you say Hashem's name while not looking at, because you're not looking at Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's not that word. Right? Mm-hmm. Moshe actually has that in the Tshuva. He says, no, that Yud is pronounced Ah. That Hey is pronounced Duh. that Vav is pronounced N. You have to look at the word Yud Kei Vav Kei when saying the word Adonai. Mm-hmm. Alright? Okay, weiter. So you pronounced it. Now usually we paskin that the only time that word appears that way and it pronounced that way is in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen Gadol says, Ki Riyo Mazel Yichaper Alchem. And they say, right, we all bow down at that time. And also, when the Kohanim in general, Ben Duchen, they say, and they say Hashem's name the way it's pronounced. The 15 words that they say, whenever they say Hashem in those 15 words, it's the way it's pronounced. Only in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Mas namar godlo bebracha. How did he make Hashem great? By making a bracha on the learning. On the reading of Torah. Right? Rav Simon b'shem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, lama nikru anshei kneses hagedola? Why are they called the people who did this work in bringing back the Torah? Why were they called anshei kneses hagedola? Just call them anshei kneses. Why? Because shechziru hagedula liyoshna. Right? Because they brought the gedula back to the way it originally was. Right? Amar Pinchas, Moshe itkin matbeah shel tefila, hakel hagadol hagibor v'hanora. When we daven Shemon Esrei, we say, hakel hagadol hagibor v'hanora. Where does that come from? It comes from Sefer Dvarim. Moshe was made that tefila for the matbeah. However, Yirmiyah amar, hakel hagadol hagibor, v'lo amar hanora. Lama amar hagibor, this God is such a gibor. Oh, Pirkei Avos is definition of gibor. He sees his house in flames, and he's called Veshes Yitzro. God, shoot down those Babylonians. Make an earthquake. You know, make a volcano. Do something. Get rid of those Babylonians. They're burning your house. What a gibor you are. He's not being facetious. He's saying, he's our definition of gibor. He's called Veshes Yitzro. Right. I see we're a little too far from the Mishnah, and I'm already going overboard. But I want to discuss this. There's a little tangent I want to discuss from Pirkei Avos on this, because it says in Pirkei Avos, he's a gibor kovashes Yitzro. It's clear that he's using that definition of gibor here, right? Because gibor usually means a mighty one. What are you talking about, mighty? God is being extremely the exact opposite here.
Right? Well, it's being powerful, powerful in an unfortunate way.
Yeah. So we have to see what. Because Gemara in Kiddushin says, if a man says to a woman, Haret mekudeshes li amanash shani gibor, you are betrothed to me on the condition that I'm a gibor. And she says, oh good, I always wanted to be married to a gibor. Mm-hmm. Right? And then she marries him, and she finds out he's no gibor at all. So he says, I am, I'm kovashes Yitzro. He goes, but that's not what I thought you meant. Or how about if he says to her, Haret mekudeshes li amanash that I'm loaded. I'm rich. Right? And she gets married to him, and he says, and then she says, "You lied to me. You said you were rich, and you haven't done. You're broke." He says, "But I'm sameach b'chelko.
Yeah.
I'm happy with I'm Pirkei Avos's definition of rich, right? So we have to see. And the Gemara has a few different Gemaras like this where there might be different definitions. So our Gemara obviously has the Pirkei Avos definition of gibor here for God, but it's a little too complicated. So I'm not going to get up to the Mishnah. So we'll continue right mamish from here.